Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
All right. Come on up, Eric. I know he's got a good word for us today. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles and get ready. Amen.
All right, here we go. Whew. I'm just telling you, I'm wrecked this morning. I'm totally wrecked. I didn't find out till Wednesday that I was going to be speaking, and I usually take anywhere between 2 weeks and 2 months to prepare for a message. So this is very, very not anymore. Thank you, Pastor Terry. You know, sometimes you just got to throw people out in the water and let them learn to swim. But Thursday morning, I just, I started praying and asking God to give me a word to be able to share with you guys. And in my time with him, I'll be honest with you, I just laid down on my face and I just prayed flat on the floor. And I just prayed to God. I said, God, please give me a word to say to these people, something that will encourage them and build them up. Something that'll help them grow in their walk with Jesus. Something that'll help them grow and fall more in love with Jesus. Because if I get up here and I don't do that, then all of this time is wasted. And our time is so precious. Jesus said, redeem the time for the days are evil. So I don't want to get up here and waste anybody's time. I want to give you something that's gonna benefit you. And while I was praying for several people and praying for this message. And I was just weeping, man. And I don't do that a lot, you know. But then this morning, the same thing, it just hit me again, that just weepy feeling and the weight of the Lord's presence on top of me, just pressing down on me. That's the glory of God. I felt it in here this morning when we was worshiping. And I just know that his spirit is with us. And that one song, it says, he's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. I don't know what I'm going to say, but God knows. He's got something to say. And the Lord had put it on my heart to talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So that's where we're going to be looking at. The key verse in this is going to be verse 17, but we're going to read all the way through it. But it talks about a new creation in Christ. And some of the lyrics and some of the songs was talking about, I've been made new. You know, it's not me who lives anymore, but Christ who lives in me. And everything just confirmed the word. You know, that last song, holy are you, Lord. The Lord's been heavy on my heart with that lately, how holy he is. And because his Holy Spirit lives in us now, we are holy because we're born again after his Holy Spirit. And I hope that this encourages you guys, and we can all go home more in love with Jesus than when we came in here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 14. And by the way, forgive me if I'm reading a lot. I want to stay on point here. And like I said, only had a few days. So 2 Corinthians 5, 14. But thank you, Pastor Terry. It's an honor and a privilege, so I really appreciate it. Thank you, Matt. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. It says, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Verse 15, it says, and he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Listen, if you've ever been talking to somebody and they say, I just don't understand how a holy and righteous God could die for somebody like me, this is what you tell them. So that you would live for somebody like him. See, he didn't just save us so that we would go to heaven. That's just one of the benefits. But it's not the main purpose, but rather that we would live for him. Romans 8:19 says that, let's look at that. Romans 8:19. Did we get that one, Lynn? I didn't bring that one up. Romans 8:19 says that all of creation is waiting eagerly for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed, meaning that there is a world outside these four walls that's waiting for you and I who are born again to manifest the characteristics of the one that we call our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how is it that the world outside these church walls will ever see Christ if we don't live like he calls us to live? Does that mean that we're going to live sinless and perfect lives? Of course not. But what it does mean is that once we are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and he's put his seal on us, that we're no longer ourselves, that we're not meant to look like the world or to live like the world, but now because we are born again of the Holy Spirit of God, the seed of God has been planted in us. The Bible says that that's an incorruptible seed. And because we are born again after that seed, we bear fruit of that kind, which is after God's character, and it's for his glory. Let's look at let me go on here so I get back to my notes. We were listening to this this song talking about being holy, and God was giving me this, that, you know, when it says, you shall be holy because I am holy, that that's not just, it's not just a commandment, but it's a promise. Because we are born again after the Holy Spirit. And see, the Bible talks about in Genesis, it says that fruit is something that has the seed within itself to bear another kind of its own, right? So when God puts his seed inside of us, he's bearing another kind like himself. So now it's God inside of us living his life out through us, and we are manifesting God to the world. That's why we don't look like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't appear like the world. Why? Because the Bible says that we are a peculiar people. The way we love and the way we forgive, it seems strange to the world. It seems strange to help one another with no desire to be helped back, to do for others who can't do something for you in return. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about my own walk. When I first got born again, and I was doing a Bible study with a group of my peers, people my age, and I had just got saved. I didn't know much about Jesus. And at the end of the Bible study, this guy just starts bringing out all these clothes and giving me these clothes and gave me a cell phone with all kind of Christian music on it and stuff. And to me, that just blew my mind, right? I'm not used to this lifestyle yet, like people just being generous and giving. And another story I thought about is the guy who gave his testimony when I got saved. He was telling the story of how he purchased a car from somebody at his church. He was making payments on it. And after about the second payment, they told him to keep the car and to keep the money because God had put it on their heart to give him that car. And I thought, what? What? What is this? I'm like, I never heard anything like this before, because from my type of background, we never gave anything like that. All we ever did in my background was take anything. So see, that's the way the world is set up, is to get and get mine, right? But the way the kingdom of God is set up is to give and be a generous giver, right? Because God is so generous that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's so generous that he gave his own son to us. So listen, I'm okay if people think that I'm weird. You know, it says we're a peculiar people, right? So listen, if people think that it's weird that I don't want to watch a sports game, I'd rather read my Bible, right? They might think it's weird. I don't care. I love reading my Bible. (Clears throat) I'm okay not living like the world and people thinking that it's strange because I'm a follower of Christ. And we should all be okay with that, with people thinking that there's something different than us because we don't look like the rest of the world. It's okay. We're peculiar people, right? And listen, I want to be very clear about all this, how we're talking about being holy and we're talking about doing these good works and bearing these good fruits and everything and not looking like the world and all that. I don't want it to sound like a works-based doctrine or works-based salvation, because let's look at Ephesians 2:8 through 10, Lynn, if you want to bring that up. Doing good works is not what gets us saved, but it's the fruit of our salvation. Because we are saved, you will see there's been a change in our lives. I think about an apple tree, and an apple tree doesn't have to sit there and think, I'm an apple tree, I'm an apple tree, I'm an apple tree, and boop, produce an apple, right? It just abides wherever it was planted at. And then its roots start to grow deep, and it receives the nutrients from the water and from the soil, and it starts taking that up. And after time, that tree grows, and then it starts to produce a fruit, and you can tell that's an apple tree because it's got apples on it. It's the same way with us. When we abide in him and he in us, there will be some fruit that is not the cause of our salvation, but it's the evidence of it. Verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. There's nothing that we can do to say that we earned our salvation. Jesus was talking to the religious leaders in his day, and he said, they said, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not heal the sick in your name? Did we not raise the dead in your name? Did we not do all these things in your name? And basically what they was naming was the works that they had done, but they had never had a relationship with him. So he said, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Listen, it didn't say that I knew you and forgot you. It said, I never knew you. They never had a personal relationship with Jesus. And they thought that because of the righteous deeds and acts that they had done, that they would be saved just by that. And there's a lot of people today that if you talk to them and you say, are you saved or are you been born again? What's the first thing they start listing off? Well, I was baptized when I was 8 years old, and I do this and I do that. They start naming all the good things that they do, right? But that's not what's going to get us there. See, it says, and not as a result of works so that no one may boast, because the salvation is a gift from God. It says we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the grace is God's divine influence upon our hearts. And because he influences our heart, then we say yes to him. And also the faith that it takes to believe in him is also a gift. All of it is a gift from him. But verse 10, let's look at that. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would then walk in them. God created us in Christ to live a life of good works that he planned for us before the foundation of the world. So we see that doing good works is actually a good thing when it doesn't cause us to be prideful like the religious crowd was in that day. When we lean on the works as that's the reason that we can be saved, then it's an error, right? But we know that it's a good thing because Jesus said, let your light so shine before men so that they may see what? Your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So when we live like Jesus called us to live, when we walk like Jesus called us to live, when we get out and we look like Jesus looked to a lost and dying world, then people can see Jesus being manifested, and it gives our Father who is in heaven the glory. the reason that it gives God the glory is because he can take somebody who used to be a drug addict, right? He can take somebody who's been in and out of prison. He can take somebody who used to be, you fill in the blank, whatever you used to be, but he can take anybody and he can turn them around and use them for his glory. And he can, look, he does it for his glory because people will see you. They'll know the way that you used to live your life and the way that you used to be, and then they'll see you acting different. They'll see you talking different. They'll see you walking different. They'll see you actually caring for people and helping people that can't help you back. They'll see you feeding the poor. They'll see you opening up a place over there in Spindale and bringing people in and feeding them and ain't expected anything back from them. They'll see you doing all these things, and they'll say, there's no way that such and such is doing that. It's only because God is in them. And when they see that God is in you, then they have to admit that God is real and that God can change things and God can save people and God can heal. And if he can heal, then he can deliver. And if he can deliver, then he can save. And he must be the God of heaven, the almighty creator, the one who created everything that we look at when we go outside and when we look up at the stars at night and we see the heavens and we think that he just spoke that into existence in a moment's time. But yet he loved us enough that he took us by his hand and he dug a little bit of dirt up out of the earth and he breathed his breath of life into it so that now we can live for him. It says that he made us in his image so that we can be bearers of light, bringing light to a dark and lost world that needs to know that Jesus Christ is real, that he heals, he saves, he delivers. He's got the same power today that he had back then. He's not just a God that's in a book, but he's a God that's alive and living inside of each and every single one of us. Praise God. I'm just glad that I know Jesus Christ personally. I'm so glad that I know him. And when I was thinking about, God, what am I going to pray about? That night he gave me these scriptures right here. I could see it in a dream, this passage in 2 Corinthians 5. And I said, you know what? I know that the Bible says be ready in season and out of season, right? Always ready to give a reason for the things that you believe in. And there may not be a lot that I know, but one thing I know is that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus because of what he did for me. And since I've lived that out, I've experienced it. Can't nobody take that word from me. You can't argue with me about being a new creation in Christ because I've seen it. I've lived it firsthand. I know what it's like to be a new creation in Christ because I know what I used to be before the Lord encountered me, okay? So I know there's one thing I can always talk about, and that's the goodness of God and his saving power and the power he has to change us and give us a new desire, a desire to walk in his will and to live a life for him, connected to the vine. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. I got to catch up. Thank you, Lord. It says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Next verse. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So we can see that it's God who is alive inside of us, who has given us the will to want to do the things that he has called us to do. To me, that was a major thing because before I knew Jesus Christ, I had no desire to do anything good whatsoever. I only wanted to do the things that benefited me and pleased my flesh. That's the only things I wanted to do before I met Jesus Christ. But once I met him, listen, it says that he will give us, it is God who is at work in you, both to will, meaning to give you the will to want to do, the work for his good pleasure. See, God is already pleased with who we are, right? When Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water, the first thing that Jesus, that the Father spoke to him, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He's already pleased in who we are. My children don't have to do anything special for me to be pleased in who they are. I'm so proud to have them two little beautiful girls that I just can't even explain it. They're such a gift from God, and they don't have to do anything to earn to be my daughters. I got a son on the way, and he don't have to do anything to earn to be my son. Nothing. But sometimes they do things. Y'all thought I was going a different direction with this. They do those things too, and I'm like, oh man, but I wasn't going in that direction. Sometimes they do things like we'll be watching worship music or something on TV, and they'll be dancing, praise music. And they're just dancing and having a good time and singing and praising the Lord, and it does something to my heart as their father when I look at them and I see them praising God like that. It encourages me so much. And I already love them more than words can express, but that love just bubbles up to the top of me. You understand what I'm saying? And when I see them get together with each other and they hug on each other and they love on each other and give each other a kiss, it just melts my heart. I can't hardly stand it. It's the goodness that's on display in front of me. And I just think that's my two little children that I created right there. You think about God. When he sees us as his children and he sees us fellowshipping together, right? Because none of us were called to walk this walk alone. God, look, it's not a suggestion that we have fellowship and get together, right? God wants us to get together and have fellowship with one another, and he absolutely loves. It thrills his heart so much when he sees us hugging each other's necks, when he sees us kissing each other on the cheek, whatever, when he sees us dapping each other up, when he sees us loving on each other, pull out a chair for somebody, roll up a table for somebody after a fifth Sunday meal, whatever it is, God loves to see his children acting like Jesus Christ would if he was here on this earth. So he's already pleased with who we are because we're his. But there's certain things that we can do that brings him extra special joy. Can you see that? And I'm telling you, I don't know about y'all, but because he saved me and I was so far gone and I was so lost and I did everything I could that was contrary to his name and to who his character is, that when he saved me, undeserved as I was, I just can't help but to want to do for him. Because he did everything for me. Not that I have to do it in order to be saved, but because I am saved, now I want to live a life that pleases him. Let's look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Says that he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. See, he not only died on our behalf to take care of the sin nature and the penalty of sin, but he also rose again on our behalf to give us a hope and a future, one where we can live victorious over the things that once had us bound. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. This is the key verse right here. This is the verse that changed my life right here. This is the very one. So if you don't have a life verse, consider making this one right here yours. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. I got saved in the county jail 12 years ago, a little over 12 years now. And when I got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about living the Christian life. I didn't know anything about Jesus, really, except I knew one thing, that he died on the cross for our sins. But up until that point, I didn't even believe that that was true. But once I started reading the Bible and I got to where this 2 Corinthians 5:17 was, when I read that, the light bulb went off and all of a sudden I knew that this thing was real, because that's exactly what happened to me. The old things, the old nature that I had passed away, and all things had become new. My desires, the way I used to think, the way I used to talk, the way I used to walk, the addictions that I had, the shame, the guilt, the depression, everything, boom, in an instant, it was wiped away, and all things had become made brand new. And I knew that because this verse right here was real, because it really happened to me, I know it experientially, and since this is real, this Bible must be the real deal, and if this Bible is the real deal, then this Jesus Christ must be the real deal. Galatians 2:20 says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the one who gave himself for me. See, we can't walk without him. We can't talk without him. If we're born again, the Bible says in John chapter 15, it says we can't do anything unless we're connected to him. Let's look at verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5, 18. It says, excuse me. It says, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Let's look at that in the, you got that in the Amplified Classic, Lynn? Let's do that one. It says, but all things are from God. What's all things that it's talking about? It's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and us living our lives for him. It's all from God, and that's why he gets the glory. It says, but all things are from God who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. I love that it says, let's see. It says that we, let's see, hold on, sorry. Lost my place here. In one version, it says that we aim to bring others into harmony with him. And I love that it says that we aim, because sometimes if you've ever shot a bow and arrow, if you've ever shot a rifle at a target, you know that you don't always hit the mark, right? Sometimes you miss. But it's okay if you're shooting in the right direction, you just shoot again, you know? But here's the thing. If you don't never aim or shoot in the right direction, you're certain to never hit the mark because you never aimed to hit it in the first place. And see, it says that he has brought us into reconciliation with himself. Let's look at verse 19. I think I had a different version there. It's throwing me off a little bit. It says, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we see that God himself was personally present in Christ Jesus, reconciling us to himself. And now God is personally present in us and through us, reconciling the world through this word of reconciliation. When you look at this word reconciling in the Greek, it means this, that God is restoring us back to a position of favor with himself. The Blue Letter Bible says that God has done this by not imputing to men their trespasses, that he has deposited the doctrine of reconciliation in the souls of preachers of the gospel to be restored to favor with God, to recover God's favor. Then it says, therefore, allow yourselves to be reconciled to God. Do not oppose your return into his favor, but lay hold of that favor now offered to you. It makes me think about... That makes me think about Peter when he encountered a blind man that was begging for change, and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but one thing I have in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." See, we can't give what we don't have. And you may think that you don't have a lot to offer by this world's standards. Maybe you don't have a lot of possessions and material riches. But if you're born again and filled with the Spirit of God, if you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, one thing you have is favor with God. And that favor is worth far more, check this out, than silver or gold. Amen. So when we was listening to that song this morning, the last song, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold, any material riches that this world has to offer," when I tell you that I was wrecked, I was already wrecked before, because you look, they were preaching my sermon in every song that they did before I ever got up here. Golly, I'm just like, thank you, God. That if I don't get up and say anything, you done said it all anyways. I was just so thrilled to see y'all singing those songs. I know that y'all had spent time with the Lord to get influence to get those songs, because I had spent time with the Lord to get this word, and we was listening to the same Lord, and for some reason that just excites me. I don't know if it does y'all the same way, but and listen, because you have favor with God, now he has entrusted you to give that same favor away to other people through this word of reconciliation. That's why, let's look at verse 20. Verse 20 says this: "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." The ambassador part right there has always stood out to me, because an ambassador is somebody who goes, who represents the nation that they're from, right? And they go to another nation to represent that nation. So we are ambassadors. It means that we represent Christ wherever we go. When we go out into this world system and we're no longer around Christians every day, can we still talk to Christianese? Can we still walk to Christianese? Can we still live out what the Word of God says in this lost and broken and dying world? The Bible says that we're supposed to do that because we're ambassadors for Christ. We're representing him when we go out in this world. And then it says, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. There's a song by Jamie McDonald, and she says, "Lord, I'm desperate. I'm down on my knees. I'm not asking, I'm begging." I thought about that song when I read this, and I'm like, that's us. Any preacher of the gospel will tell you that they want to see souls get saved, right? So when I come to you and I'm asking you, listen, if there's anybody in here who doesn't know Jesus Christ, I'm not asking you to come to Jesus. I'm begging you to come to Jesus. Listen, the reason I'm begging you is because you don't know what your life holds for you tomorrow. There's many people who thought that they would wake up today, and they didn't wake up today. You never know when your time is going to come. And so we should be a people who are constantly trying to bring other people into the kingdom of God. I don't know about y'all, but I've lost too many people, and all of a sudden see them one day and then see them the next day, they're gone. I don't want my friends and my family, my church family, the people all around me, I don't want them to go without knowing Jesus. But if they go and they know Jesus, I know where they're at. And they may have gone to another place, but I'm going to go and be with them one day. And that brings me great joy. And we should all want to see people get saved so that we can have that same peace of mind and that same joy. And because we have Jesus Christ living inside of us, and he gives us peace and joy, we should want other people to have the same thing. Let's look at verse 21. "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." The only ever perfect and spotless Lamb of God, holy, righteous, just, and true in all his ways. The sinless Son of God became sin on our behalf, meaning although he never committed sin, that he did this. He exchanged our sin on the cross for his righteousness so that we could have right standing with God. When you think about all that Jesus Christ went through so that we could be made right with God, it just breaks me down and makes me want to weep because it's his goodness. And the Bible says that his goodness is what leads man to repentance. God did it for us because there's no other way that we could ever earn a right standing or a right relationship with God except for Jesus Christ do it for us. And this is in closing right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Says, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Verse 2. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's not another day. It's the day right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ, make this the time that you come to know Jesus Christ. You can either come up here and you can get down on the altar and pray, or you can go home and pray, whatever you do, but just make sure that if you don't know Jesus Christ, that you get right with him, because he said today is the day of salvation. It's the acceptable time. And it says that we are laboring together with Christ. We are working together with him. And it says, don't take the grace of God in vain. God is influencing our hearts to live the way that he has called us to live. So when we go outside these four walls, if you do know Jesus Christ, continue to walk in that grace. Continue to walk in the power that God gives us and the influence that he gives us to look like he does to a lost and dying world. Because if we don't live like him, they won't get to see him in this world. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus, and we manifest who he is to this world. And when they see Jesus living through us, they see the goodness of God, the same goodness that I've seen that brought me to repentance, that brought me to my knees on that dirty jail cell floor when I met Jesus Christ. And he can do the same thing for you right now and make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Thank you. So right now, as we pray out, I just want to ask if there's anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with him, will you please stand up if God is calling you today and you want to be saved? Okay. That means we're all family. And so that means that I hope this word is encouraging to you, that because he died for us and that he rose again, that you want to live your life for him, pleasing him, manifesting him to a lost and dying world so that people can see him and we can bring more people into the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this day. God, we thank you for this word. Lord, I pray that every bit of it that was you, that it would be sealed inside of our hearts and our minds forever, God. And Lord, we would begin to live out what the word says, God, and that people would see it and come to know you in a deeper, more intimate way, Lord. I pray for everybody here that they would fall more in love with you every single day, God. And I pray, Lord, I know that your word says that your word always accomplishes that which it is set out to do, God. So I pray that that word go to work right now in people's hearts and minds, God, and that they know you on a deeper level, God. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like that. You ever had an old car that the CV joint popped every time you turn and wouldn't change gears right, and it just smelled bad in it, and it's just an old jalopy? And then you got a new car, it rides smooth, and it had that new car smell. I think Eric has experienced the new life smell. It just smells good. It's got that new life smell. Rides smooth. Well, when you hit a bump, it don't have to tear you out of frame like it once did. You're going to hit a bump. I think we have some announcements.
my favorite. A good afternoon. I guess it's afternoon. Close enough. Tonight is VBS. I need a little more than that. I need a little bit more than that. That's good. I'll take it. I'll take it. I just wanted to make a couple announcements. One, it starts at 6 tonight. If you have not registered your child, it's okay. If you have neighbors, friends, relatives, whomever you want to invite, have them come. There's a form. We'll get them in there. If they haven't registered, 20 teal, 15 teal would be a good idea. Tonight, most importantly, if you've invited someone or you are that someone or you have kids, wear white. Have them wear white. I want to emphasize old white clothing. We're going to make a mess. They're going to stain it. Probably should come out. May not. Don't know. But it is what a mess. So please wear white. There will be prizes for the most messiest white attire, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Workers also wear white. Wear your shirts. Throw on a white shirt over it because there's prizes for our workers as well. And last thing and most important thing, tennis shoes. If you're bringing your kids or if you're inviting people, tell them, relay this message. Tell them to wear tennis shoes. We've had several injuries in the past, and all of them, believe it or not, they've been wearing Crocs or flip-flops. So please wear old, I want to emphasize the word old, tennis shoes all week and old clothing all week. Thank you, guys.
All right. And I hear that we have a centerpiece down there, a feature that was built, that they had civil engineers come in and design, that it's already been issued an ISO 9001, 2, and 3 award. I mean, I hear Walt Disney called and said that they're getting rid of the castle down at Disney. They're going to put this structure up as soon as VBS is over. So you got to see it, I hear. I'm waiting till tonight. I'm not going to ruin the surprise. So you'll be worth coming just to see that. Wednesday night, we will have service as usual up here. So if you come to the Wednesday night services, the Bible study up here, want to make sure that you understand that that's still going on. So drop your kids, your grandkids off down there if you're not volunteering for VBS. And you can come up here. Now, if you're volunteering, you stay down there. Okay. All right. And we've got a praise report here. I hear we have someone that has a new visitor, but they're not a visitor, they're a member. They're 2 weeks old, and this is their first time at church. R.J. Jenkins. Ronnie and Kristen's babies. Well, stand up and show them off. Yeah. Look at that. 2 weeks old. 2 weeks old. And already, can they play an instrument, sing? Working on that? We'll get them up there. Just okay. A couple, we need to pray for a few people real quick before we dismiss. Let's pray for Joe Jolly. We're going to be praying for Joe. Pray for Victoria Jenkins. And we want to pray for Camden Searcy. So those are the three that was asking for prayer requests. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now and say, Lord, you are the healer. You know where we need to have healing done and be touched by you, God. And so we're just asking you right now that your healing power would come and flow through Joe and Victoria and Camden, God, that you would touch them in a mighty way and you would heal their body, heal their disease, bring wholeness to their bodies right now. Lord, we pray for VBS this week. We pray that salvation will be in the air and those kids that are coming in that don't know you, that'll come back on fire for you and set their whole household on fire as we send them back home to their families, Lord. We just pray for the workers. We pray for protection, travel mercies. We pray for a special anointing on every teacher, every volunteer, that the ears would be open, that the words would be just bathed in your love and in your glory, that will bring about great change. And for everything you do this week and for everything you do in our family members who are needing healing, Lord, we'll be careful to praise you and point to you and to say, it was Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.